You are listening to a broadcast from Proclamation Church. I'm Pastor Jimmy, and I want to thank you for tuning in to this week's sermon lesson. We are located in Orlando, Florida, and we're so glad that you are listening in on us and hope and pray that these next few minutes will be intellectually informative, spiritually enlightening, and altogether life-changing. Thank you again for listening in. It's preaching time. It's preaching time. It's time to hear a word from the Lord. And we have one for you today. If you would turn in your Bibles to our scripture reading, which will be coming from Genesis chapter 3, verses 20 through 24. Go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Genesis 3, 20 through 24. Genesis 3, 20 through 24. Genesis is our reading for today, chapter 3, verses 20 through 24. And it reads this way. It says, the man named his wife Eve because she was the mother of all the living. The Lord God made garments from skins for Adam and his wife and clothed them. And the Lord God said, now that the man has become like one of us, knowing good and evil, he must not be allowed to stretch out his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever. So the Lord God expelled him from the orchard in Eden to cultivate the ground from which he had been taken. And when he drove the man out, he placed on the eastern side of the orchard in Eden angelic sentries who use the flame of a whirling sword to guard the way to the tree of life. When he drove the man out, he placed on the eastern side of the orchard in Eden angelic sentries who use the flame of a whirling sword to guard the way to the tree of life. I want to talk to you from the subject, after sin, then what? After sin, then what? I have no points in this sermon. Doesn't mean that the sermon is pointless. We're just going to talk through this. This is the summation and evaluation portion of the sermon series. We're at the end of the sermon series. So this is the last sermon in this creation series. So this is the summation and evaluation. And then we're going to close with an application. So if you've been a part of the hermeneutics class, you'll understand these phases of the hermeneutical spiral. And so we're in the summation. We're in the summation and evaluation. We're summarizing, evaluating what we've learned in the previous sermons. And then we're going to apply it to our lives. And then we're going to move on to something else. We're going to move on to our next topic of interest, which is going to be the Trinity. But today we want to close out this sermon. The creation story, listen to me, the creation story in the book of Genesis tells us that God is the creator. If you didn't learn anything else, please learn that. That the creation story in the book of Genesis tells us that God is the creator. That in 6 days, he created the universe. It's important that we understand this, that we don't add anything or take anything away. That we don't let anybody try to teach us anything differently. That in 6 days, God created the universe. And after each day, he declared that which he made, that which he created was good. He declared as being good. But after he completed creating on the sixth day, God declared that all he had made was not only good, but very good. Not only good, but very good. Let's talk about good. Talk about it. This sermon, we're not going to go in depth like we do all the other sermons. It's just a summation and the evaluation, and then we're going to do the application. So this is probably the deepest we'll get is just looking at this good, because I don't know if we did this before, but I want us to talk about good. What is good in the eyes of God? Now, the Hebrew word is tov. In this context, tov signifies whatever enhances, promotes, produces, or is conducive to life. In other words, it was the light that God considered good on day one. It was the sky that God considered good on day two. It was the land, sea, plants, and trees that God considered good on day three. It was the sun and the moon, the day and the night that God considered good on day four. It was the fish and birds that God considered good on day five. And it was the cattle and animals and the creation of humankind that God considered good and very good on day six. So whatever is conducive to life in God's creation is good, for God himself is good, and that goodness is reflected in all of his work. So the next time someone asks you how you're doing, you can say, I'm good, and know why. But when you ask someone, are you good? Then you know what you're asking them. You're answering and asking, are you doing anything that promotes, produces, or is conducive to life? In other words, are you favorably contributing to what God has created, especially the creation of mankind? The creation story also informed us about obedience to the command of God. The understanding is that God gives commands to spare us from trouble. He gives us commands to shelter us from danger, seen and unseen. God gives us commands to help make us wise in Him and not in ourselves, the world, and Satan. And these commands help us to not be deceived by lies, temptation, and self-desire. Lastly, God's commands allow us to maintain the right relationship with Him. And with that relationship, the benefit of the tree of life is afforded to us by way of God's promise of eternal life through salvation. The creation story also spoke to us about sin and disobedience. We saw that just because knowing God's command does not guarantee that one will keep God's command. Are you listening? We saw in our with our own eyes, we heard with our own ears, we studied it together in the sermon lesson, that just knowing God's commands does not guarantee that one will keep God's command, even in the surroundings of perfection. It's no guarantee. Remember, knowledge is absent of action. Just because you know something doesn't mean you're going to do what you know. But both Adam and Eve knew God's one command. There's only one command. They both knew that God said, do not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But that did not stop them from disobeying God's command and eating from it. Even with the strict consequence of death, when they eat from the forbidden tree, this did not cause them to obey God's command. For God said, if you eat of it, you will surely die. Now, you would think that knowing God's command and the consequence of death, if the command is disobeyed, that both of those items of godly information would be enough for total obedience. But it wasn't. It wasn't. They disobeyed, and sin came into the world. It came into mankind. It came into every living thing. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Then last week, we learn that the creation story in the book of Genesis gave us detailed insight into the death that the disobedience of the first man Adam and his wife Eve brought to mankind. The statement, "You will surely die," does most definitely mean you will die for sure. However, we learn that the death was not immediate, but imminent. The man Adam and the woman Eve went from being immortal to being mortal. That all life that lived now has the curse of an imminent death upon it. Now, that the creation story has taught us so much and given us so much insight, I want to end this sermon by talking about death. I want to end this sermon series about talking about death. In general, as Christians, we talk about life, and we should, but we don't talk much about death. And when we do talk about death, we tiptoe around it as if it is not real and can only happen to others and cannot and will not happen to us. Most Christians and people in general view death as something that they are immune to and unaffected by. Listen to me. Listen to me, please. If death is imminent, then we should live our lives as if today is the most important day of our lives. Why? Because tomorrow is not promised, but death is. But what we do not know about this promise of death is where, how, and when it will occur. But God knows. All we know that it will occur to everyone living. Are y'all with me? Tracking with me? We do not know about where, how, and when this death will occur. But we do know that it will occur. It will occur to everyone living. So if we know that it will, then why do we live as if it will not? Why do we live as if we are the one person to whom death does not apply? Even though we know that death is absolute and that it will affect everyone, that there is one death awaiting every person living, it is said that death is the most equal opportunity and fair event in the world, and that is because it is one per person. Every person living gets it the same. Their life will one day end. Their life will one day end. Now, because of that, and the fact that we don't know where, how, and when, then tomorrow should not be a major concern for us. Amazingly, children look forward to tomorrow so that they could grow up and be grown adults. Amazingly, adults look forward to tomorrow so that they could retire and hopefully live a worry-free life. The world teaches us to plan for tomorrow, today. We live this way and do all this with the knowledge that the only sure thing that will happen is death. Death. Today is the only promise because tomorrow may never come. You with me? All you have is today because you're not promised tomorrow. This is not supposed to be a morbid or morose sermon lesson, but this is reality. And this became more real for me, this reality of death. Listen to me. I want you to understand what I'm getting ready to say. This, again, this is not a morbid or morose sermon, but this is a sermon to help us see reality. And it became more real for me when I watched my son Matthew die before my very eyes. this just didn't click for me when my mother died, even though I knew she was dead. Same for my father when he died, and my grandmother and grandfather when they died. Same for my mother and father-in-law when they died. It was the same for everyone who died in my lifetime. Those deaths were for them and not for me. Even with each of those deaths, I still felt that it was only for them and not for me. That I was still immune to what had happened to them, or at least it was too far away to matter. But it all changed when Matthew died. Again, this is not supposed to be a sad sermon, but a testimony of reality for me and hopefully for you too. When Matthew died, I realized that the death that he experienced was also for me. I realized that today is my only promise because tomorrow may never come. I remember that morning on that day, as vividly as it was just yesterday. My wife left for work, and this particular morning, she decided to leave without waking Matthew up and saying goodbye. I think he had told her the night before that he was not going to training that morning, but the afternoon session. So she left without saying goodbye because there was always tomorrow. For me on that day, I was working from home due to the shutdown caused by the pandemic. I knew that at some point towards the end of the day, I would have to stop work early to take Matthew to his training session. So I was rushing to get things finished. However, when he got ready to leave, he peeked his head in my office and told me that he was going to ride with his friend Matt. And at that moment, I was relieved because this meant that I did not have to stop, but could have time to finish what I was trying to get done. Now, if my wife and I had known that this was the day of our son's death, we would have done things differently. She would have awakened him and said goodbye, and I would have insisted that I take him to his Marine training session. But we did not know and thought we had tomorrow. It didn't know. Thought we had tomorrow. But the main person was Matthew. He didn't know that on that day, it would be the last day of his life and that he would not see tomorrow. Because if he had known, I wonder what he would have done differently. There's nothing that my wife can do about what she did on that day. There's nothing that I can do about what I did on that day. And certainly, there's nothing that Matthew can do about what happened to him on that day. But there is something that this testimony of reality can teach all of us. And that is that death is imminent for everyone living. And that today is the only promise that we have because tomorrow may never come. These facts are detailed in the creation story that we have been preaching in this creation sermon series. The only reason we are in this situation is because God is the creator and he masterminded the master plan. And this testimony of reality that I share should help us to understand that there's no reason not to believe that God is the creator of the universe and that he orchestrated the entire plan for man. We should now understand that he is the one who gave mankind life, life to all living things. He's the one who gave life. And he is the one who gave the command with the consequence of death to all living things if the one man Adam disobeyed the command. The man Adam did obey the command, and death came to all living things, especially to man, especially to you and me. So I end this series with an urgent plea for us to believe that God is the creator. And because of that, we are subject to him and must obey his commands. The one command that I want us to focus on today is the command to believe in his son, Jesus Christ, so that even though death is imminent, you and I can be assured of a life that is eternal, even knowing that this life will end. The summation and evaluation of this creation series from the context of our text is that death is coming to everyone. However, eternal life through salvation is here for you today. Tomorrow is not promised, so today is the day. Let me close with this. Genesis 3, listen to it read again, 20 and 24. The man named his wife Eve because she was the mother of the living. The Lord God made garments from skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them. And the Lord God said, now that the man has become like one of us, knowing good and evil, he must not be allowed to stretch out his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever. So the Lord God expelled him from the orchard of Eden and to cultivate the ground from which he had been taken. And when he drove the man out, he placed on the eastern side of the orchard in Eden angelic sentries who used the flame of a whirling sword to guard the way to the tree of life. I want us to realize that the only reason we are in this predicament is because of sin. And sin came because of disobedience to God's command. I want you to hear this now. And the command came from God when he created man. We now know that all of this happened at the beginning when God created everything. You with me? Let me say that again. I want us to realize this is a logical progression. I want us to realize that the only reason that we're in this predicament is because of sin. And sin came because of disobedience to God's command. And the command came from God when he created man. And now we know that all of this happened at the beginning, at the creation of the universe, when God created everything. So you can disbelieve that God is the creator. You can disbelieve the facts of the creation. You can disbelieve that God gave a command with the consequence of death to all living things. You can disbelieve that there is even any such thing as sin. But the one thing that you can't disbelieve is death. Because death will happen to all living things, especially man, whether you believe it or not. So the disbelief is reversed because the only reason for death is sin. The only reason for sin is disobedience to God's command. The only reason for God's command is because God created man. Because God created man, then this confirms that he is the creator of everything. So the logic says, believe. See it today and believe that God is the creator. And in his creation plan was the redemption of man from the death that came through sin. Even though Matthew did not know he would not see tomorrow, he did know the one who held his tomorrow, God. Matthew believed that when death came on that day, God granted him eternal life in the eternality of his tomorrow. And God wants to do the same for you. Don't wait for tomorrow. Do it today. Believe. Believe. The question in the subject of the sermon says, after sin, then what? Then came Jesus, the Son of God. Believe in him today and receive eternal life and never have to ever worry about your tomorrow and start living joyfully in your today. Believe in him today and receive eternal life and never have to ever worry about your tomorrow and start living joyfully in your today. Amen. That's all I got for you in this series of the creation story. Father, thank you for your vivid truth, helping us to see your plan for me. Thank you for allowing us to see it even greater through such a tragic death of our son, Matthew. Thank you so much for the benefit that we receive as we know more about you and your creative plan. Thank you for all who are on today and those who are believers and also the non-believers, that they will understand, as the believers would be more laser focus on the priority that they give their lives to you on each day. And not planning for tomorrow, but living life for you on today. And for those who are unsaved, they're believing in all that they need to believe so that they can be saved, especially the one man, Jesus Christ, who died for our sins and gave us the ability to have a restored relationship with you. Help us, God, all to believe the creation story that you are the creator. You orchestrated this plan. This plan for man to live eternally with you in heaven through a man named Jesus Christ. Touch us all today. Help us to know and help us to walk therein. And we, God, we promise to not take anything for ourselves other than that which you've already given us. But we will give your name the praise, glory, and honor. We ask this and believe this. And all together we say, amen. All together we say, amen.
Thank you so much for worshiping with us today. Just a few announcements before our after church chat. There are two ways to give offering: electronically via Cash App, hashtag the Proclamator, or by mail to 511 Eartha Lane, Orlando, Florida 32805. Please fill out a contact card before you sign off today if you're new here, have never filled one out, or need to update your information. This ensures you receive valuable church news and updates and your year-end giving statement. To fill out this contact card, go to postable.com/proclamationchurch. Join us every weekday at 12 p.m. for prayer at the same Zoom link. Noon Zoom is a time to share prayer requests and praise reports and intercede for the needs of our church, community, and our world. We gather for Bible study every Thursday from 7:30 to 8:30 p.m. Don't miss this important time of growing deeper in your understanding of God and God's Word. All of our Sunday sermons are available on sermon audio for you to re-listen or share with someone who needs to hear a good word. Visit sermonaudio.com/theproclamator to listen or download. If you're not yet a member of a church community, we'd love to welcome you as a member of Proclamation Church. Contact Pastor Jimmy or Pastor Keon for more information about Proclamation Church or for help finding a local church if you're not based in the Orlando area. This week's Bible reading can be found in the chat. Read along with us as we make our way through the scriptures. If you'd like to receive a weekly text of the Bible reading, please text SIGN ME UP to 407-468-7931. Again, thank you for being here with us at Proclamation Church. We hope you'll stick around for the after church chat to discuss the sermon and spend a few moments in fellowship.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Proclamation Church. I am Pastor Jimmy, and it is my hope and prayer that the sermon lesson has opened your eyes to the truth of the Scriptures and that you are able to apply its meaning to your life. Thank you, and may God's love continue to shine on you. Stay safe and tune in again.